This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Now we're live both on Pet Life Radio and here on Instagram. We're live with Dr. Jeff here for the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio's Ask the Vets with Dr. Jeff. And I am in New York right now. And I'm having first of all, I had no idea how many people are walking their dogs everywhere in New York. It's unbelievable. And every place you turn, every street, if I stopped every single dog that I wanted to say hi to, I probably would take me a half hour just to get one city block. It is, which is what, a 20th of a mile. It's crazy, but I love it. And everybody's so happy. And these dogs are great. They walk through Central Park. But I mean, every single play. I took some video of some dogs because they're so amazing. But I'm having way too much fun. What I should do is set up a little kiosk. I could do a little pet care kiosk on any street here and be busy all day. It's crazy. Okay, first question. Wondering if we should give taurine to our cats. Well, most cat foods are first of all, meat is important because meat has taurine. Where dogs can make taurine, if you add cysteine and methionine, which are the two what we call sulfur amino acids, they can make their own taurine. Cats can't. So you've got to get it from their meat or fish. It's got to be an animal protein. And most cat food companies will put extra taurine there just to be safe. So chances are you're crazy. Beth, where am I sitting? I'm sitting at the Art House Hotel in the little lobby. There's music in the background, but it's really hip and cool. And it's a cute little boutique hotel. This is where we're all staying. And anyway, so here I am. You can hear music in the background. There are people, they're sitting. And there is so much energy. And it's getting cold. Last night, it started pouring. And we were going to walk to the restaurant. So we knew there were about six of us. We said, you know what? We'll just take an Uber. Oh my God, oh my God, shit. It's $2 away from the hotel. First, when we're getting into the Uber, it just started a light little drizzle. Within $2, it was a torrential pour. So I guess what you guys are getting in LA now too. So anyway, and then the wedding we're going to, we have to leave here at 3:00. We're going to Closter, New Jersey for the wedding. And then we fly back like literally 7:30 tomorrow morning. So I'll be getting up real early in the morning, as I did when I came here from LA. So let's see, questions. What do we got? But anyway, it's really cool. The area we're in on 77th and Broadway. So it's a nice area. You lived here for a while, but it's really good. Hold on, Rescue 9. Good morning. Heard there was an increase in lepto. It's interesting you say that because, yes, I'm hearing the same thing. Interestingly, though, not from the veterinary community. I'm hearing it from people. So should we make lepto a core vaccine? To me, it's still really a lifestyle. If you see wild rodents around, if you take your dogs to parks where there might be rats, then yes, 100% do it. My only hesitation is, of all the vaccines we give, and we give a lot of them, the one that seems to have the most reactions is the lepto. So if I'm going to give lepto, especially for a small dog, I'm going to do it. I'll break it up. I won't do them all in one day. So, Beth, it's your old hood. Yeah, no, it's really cool up here. And so anyway, but it's a great question. If you frequent parks or dog parks, or you go any kind of hiking in the canyons or the mountains, 100% be safe and get the lepto. I mean, honestly, and I shouldn't say this because it's required by law, but I would faster give a dog like that a lepto than a rabies, because I haven't seen a case of rabies in my entire career, which is 40 plus years. And they say that it hasn't been reported in a domesticated pet in Los Angeles for over 60 years. So, but if we have a backyard-only dog, it doesn't frequent those places. I don't know if you really need to let go. Now, will it hurt? Well, yeah, giving a shot to the dog might hurt. He's making a reaction, but it's not going to really affect them. However, speaking of vaccines, there's a new rabies, an RNA, mRNA or an sRNA rabies vaccine put out by Merck. Again, I don't use it, and I haven't been able to see any science yet. However, the reports are not good. So what I would recommend, and I'm not going to use that vaccine until there's a lot more data, but apparently they rushed it through pretty quickly. The testing was very questionable. And there's a woman online has a lot of statistics about it. I don't know if it's worth it. I really don't. So I'd be pretty careful. Hey, JB. So yeah, I would wait before making those decisions. Okay, what else? Waving. Oops. And what are good questions. So lepto we talked about. So one of the things I also wanted to talk about, and this sort of came out indirectly because of the comments I was getting about the Frenchie. And someone asked me to, can I give you a little more data about French Bulldogs? They are very popular. Because of the popularity, we're also seeing more problems because we're seeing Frenchies of poorer quality. And that's what happens, unfortunately. Every time a dog gets really, really popular, they tend to start overbreeding breeders that really shouldn't be breeding. They really don't know all the details of breeding, how to select the right dogs, how to interact with your veterinarian. And therefore, we get some pretty lousy quality out there. And that just belongs and includes, and I said increases the problems. You know, one example I have, and I've used it before, the Persian cat. You ruined the cat. I mean, they're beautiful cats, but they have their faces so smooshed in, they can't breathe. So it's the same thing. Yeah, Dr. Judy exposed this. Yes, she did. Colitis testing. It's not, ultimately, to really see if there's inflammation within the colon, it's biopsies. Do I recommend it routinely? No, because it's colitis. If it's truly colitis, first of all, the dog is going to be acting totally fine. It's going to have some diarrhea. It's going to have mushy stool. It's going to have mucus. It's going to have blood. But it's not going to be like a sick dog. They're still eating. They're running around. They're playful. Everything else is pretty normal. So I would first treat symptomatically before jumping to testing like that. Now, if I have a chronic problem that is not responding to anything, then yes, I would say biopsy is the next best choice. And then you could see. But ultimately, what are you going to do? You're going to treat it anyway. However, sometimes, what I've done just out of experience, if I have a dog that's not responding to the fiber, not responding to the metronidazole, the flagyl, or the azulfidine, which is what we used to use and still used in people, I might, if everything else has been ruled out, I might give a little steroids and corticosteroids, anti-inflammatory, and see. But one thing also, when we have these chronic colitis cases, you got to think food allergy. It's not your classic presentation of food allergy, which is face, feet, ears, but we can actually see some GI upset from dietary allergies. So it's important to think that as well. Okay, I'm waving. Hey, JB. Gina will be seeing you tomorrow for checkup. So, wow, 17. Now remember, JB, I won't be in until at least 11:30. I'm going to go straight into surgery, and then I'll be seeing patients in the afternoon. So make sure they told you when you made the appointment. LA Pet Care, hey, how you doing? We're talking about you this weekend. Okay, waving. Now, let's see what we had here. All right, I asked because I had blood work done on my dog with a fecal sample. It was pretty much shell. Everything came back good. Teenage we have mucus, but as I was just saying, that is classic colitis. So first thing you do is add some fiber to the diet. One of the hot ones that a lot of specialists are recommending is psyllium powder. But remember, when you're adding fiber to a diet, don't do too much, because too much fiber will give us off stool. So it's got to be a small amount. For psyllium, maybe a small dog, an eighth, medium-sized dog, a quarter, a big dog, half a teaspoon with the meal. With the dietary fibers, canned pumpkin, cooked oatmeal, sweet potato, et cetera, et cetera. Then you can do like a tablespoon for a big dog. But if you do too much, it's going to contribute to the soft stool. Now, if that doesn't work, then go with flagyl. If that doesn't work, I would do azulfidine or sometimes combine azulfidine with flagyl. And ultimately, if I have to, I'll do, that's when I'll either make a decision. If the bloods are normal, if everything else is normal, and I'm not worried about putting a dog on steroids, I'll do some corticosteroids. If there is concern, then we would need to get an answer. And one thing that we see, fortunately not commonly in just colon, but in GI tract, especially in cats, with chronic problems like this, is IBD, inflammatory bowel disease, which again, you treat with steroids, or early lymphoma, intestinal lymphoma. And oftentimes, early IBD mimics lymphoma. And what's even scarier is that when you treat with steroids, even with lymphoma, you're going to get an improvement. So you're thinking, oh, that's great. That's what it was. Thanks, doc. Thanks, doc. Meanwhile, if it's lymphoma, it's the steroids by themselves are only going to last so long. And then it seems to come back with a vengeance. And then because of the steroids, it might interfere with the ultimate biopsy that you might take. So it's tricky stuff. It's not, there's no one easy answer. Okay, hold on. Okay. See you tomorrow. Oh, okay. Have you seen the research from the UK and levels of parasite and water? The environmental impact is concerning. I have not, but I can see that that's very possible because you have runoff water coming from areas that were sprayed with parasiticides. It wouldn't surprise me one bit, but I've not seen any papers. If you have access to one, please send me and I'll take a look. Sharon. Yeah, of course I'm doing that. How can I'm going nuts. I already missed Thursday and I missed my Friday half day, which is never a half day. And so yes, I'll be going back 100%. Hello, Grace. All right, so there are no, these are, oh, the topicals from the dogs. That's interesting. You bathe the dog. No, I have not. I've not seen. So, again, wouldn't surprise me. But when you think of those topicals, supposedly they're safe for the dogs. So I just don't, see. But if you have data on that, please share it with me. Okay. So let's go. One thing I wanted to, we started talking about earlier about the Frenchies. We'll start now. There's a lot to talk about, but people have often asked me, what is the problem? The breed is so popular. What are the problems that we see in French Bulldogs? So, of course, it is the BOAS. And that is the brachycephalic, all right, obstructive airway syndrome. So what's happening is because of their thick necks, their pushed in face, their narrow noses, and the elongated soft palate, and these are sometimes with very large tonsils, okay? So they will have their trouble breathing is obviously snoring is impossible. The I've seen Frenchies that when they get worked up, they will literally start turning blue. In fact, what I've done in my practice is when I know I have a Frenchie coming in, not only will I have the owners give some trazodone or some sedative first, but instead of having dogs coming in first thing in the morning, like I usually do, if I know I'm not going to get to the surgery hours until noon or 12:30, I'm going to have them come in at 11 or 11:30. Because I've had Frenchies before that sitting in that cage, even with the trazodone, they're going nuts and they get to the point where they can't breathe. Their tongues are turning blue. And that's a huge, huge problem. So I said, you know what? I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to make them worse. So now I have them coming in just an hour before surgery. So we put the catheter in, we give them the pre-anesthetic right away, and at least we get them to be calmed down. And I think that's really, really important. So, all right. All right. So then you have the laryngeal saccules that are on the floor of the glottis as you're going into the trachea, and you can see these little bubbles and there's saccules that sometimes they're not so little, they get big. So there's corrective surgeries. First of all, my recommendation, interesting, I talked to some Frenchie specialists at University of Missouri that have the Breathe Clinic, and they do all these studies, these tests. Actually, it's very reasonably priced. It's more expensive to get the dog there, get your hotel, and than it is for them to do this Breathe follow-up. Second, I think they charge $1,500 or $1,700, but it's extremely complete. It tests for everything. And then I talked to their doctor. She prefers surgery. Now, my friend Boaz in Florida, he likes laser. I do laser. And in fact, I just saw that he reached out to me. He saw one of my surgeries. And I'm going to have to talk to him because he's even more aggressive with the nares. And he takes the alar fold out as well. I've never had to. I mean, the dogs do better. But if I can make them even better than that, why not? So I'm going to have a conversation with him. And I don't know, Boaz, if you're listening to myself, if you're going to be a VMX, we could talk about it then. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see it up close and personal, how you do it, how you get behind it. Because it goes up into the nasal passage. So you have to get behind it to take the whole thing off. Anyway, I'd love to see it. All right. Anyway, don't go away here at Pet Life. It's halfway through the show. So we have to go break for our commercials. And then Instagram, stay here for a minute. I'm going to mute myself from the from Pet Life Radio. And we continue the talk. And then we'll be right back after these short messages. And Mark, give me a thumbs up as we get close, because I can't hear you well because of the ambient noise here.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem. But the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back here live. So we're talking about this this dog. So now I'm worried. Was it a ruptured spleen? It didn't look like it. Put an ultrasound on the abdomen and no pockets of blood, no fluid in the belly, no free flow. When you have a pale dog like that, it's usually three things. By the way, the blood cell count was very low. They're either losing blood, but inside we would have seen it. And outside, of course, it's easy to see because they're bleeding all over the place. The bone marrow is shut down, not making red cells, or the body is destroying the red cells. So we looked for something called spherocytes, and we were pretty comfortable that it was immune-mediated hemolytic anemia. The body was attacking its own red cells. But that happens usually primary or secondary, some other extreme problem with the dog, either overwhelming infection or inflammation, where the cells are getting crazy, the white cells, and attacking everything in sight, including their own red cells. So we started treatment for that and followed up the next day. And he was doing better. He started eating better, but still on the weak side. Then the next day, it was we had my friend coming in to do some ultrasound. And he was very worried because when we got the cytology back from the spleen, I aspirated some of the tissue from the spleen. The neutrophils, the white cells, had some bacteria in them. And Dr. Trivedi was extremely concerned about that. And he has never led me astray. He's phenomenal. And him and Dr. Feldman are my two favorite internists in Los Angeles. And he said, something's off with this case because you don't see bacteria intracellularly in the spleen. Period. You don't do it. So has come back the next day. He's going to do a full ultrasound for me, looking for where else in the body might there be a problem. And he calls me back. And because the blood count was so low still, that we knew we needed to transfuse. We don't carry blood products in our practice. So we're going to send him to a specialty facility that has blood for the transfusion. Well, guess what? He calls me 5 minutes after he puts the dog on the table and he goes, Jeff, I got the answer. It's a splenic torsion. Where spleen was large for whatever reason, and it rotated on its own axis, cutting off the blood going in and the blood going out. He said the spleen was black and immediate surgery. So I called the specialty group. I was already here in New York, so I couldn't do the surgery. And we called it anyway, PS, we got it. But he said, now here's a guy who's a very qualified, great internist. He said, I've seen tube in my career, he says. That's spanning over 20 years, 25 years. Oh, that's how rare it is. It didn't even cross my mind because I've never seen it. And that's because I don't see those kinds of heavy-duty cases. So apparently, I haven't checked today yet, but apparently the dog is doing much better after surgery. They did have to, I think they had to transfuse. I'm not sure. I'll check. But that is, you know, we always talk about horses versus zebras. You know, the cases that are obvious, like, you know, I'm not going to see a dog like that come in and my first thought is going to be a splenic George, where you might see one I just did in my career. So you'll think of things that are obvious. All the other things I mentioned are much more obvious, much more common. But this was a zebra. This was one of those rare, rare, crazy cases. So anyway, back here, any other questions about that? That was really cool case, though. I think what I was allergic to new food, a laminate. It says, started on this CS-Stardust crap. Oh, absolutely possible. When dogs have an allergic reaction to a food, it sometimes can happen that fast. So if nothing else has changed, and all you did was add the lamb, the diet, then 100%, I would stop for food. Well, the eating stop. It should, but it won't happen right away. So he's got to get all that food out of the system. And now, yes, should you give her something for allergies or for the reaction? Of course, you can do anything as simple as Cytopoint. But I would say Cytopoint's not great for food allergies, food sensitivity, but it's probably the best thing we got. You could try that new, you can do Apoquil, Senrelia, which is the new one. They might help. It's an allergic response. So anything that would suppress that allergic response, I wouldn't say steroids. No, it would, but I would do that right now. So I would, you know, stop the food right away. Maybe for the reaction, you can give some Benadryl. If anything, it will calm her down a little bit. It should stop pretty quickly. Adeno, it all depends. Any virus, the thing is, we don't have a direct treatment for viruses. So what are we relying on? We're relying on the dog's own immune system. So if the dog has a really strong immune system, it could get improve dramatically more quickly with that. And also, it depends how else they're doing. In other words, it's not just this virus. If there are other insults to the immune system going on at the same time, then obviously it's going to take a little longer. But if the dog, and it's our job, obviously, when you know you're relying on a virus and a treatment where the body has to fight its own battle, then you want to keep the body as strong as possible. So you want to make sure they're eating well. You want to make sure they're being exercised well. You want to make sure you keep them as healthy as possible. The healthier you keep them, the better their immune system is going to be able to fight whatever it has to fight. So Rosebud, hello, hello. Sally, hey. Josh, how you doing? Jose Hernandez, hello, good. All right. So let's go back to the Frenchies real quick. We have a few more minutes. So the goal here with Frenchies, and unfortunately, then there's a secondary problem to the regular BOAS problem, and that is hiatal hernias. What happens is, and I'm sure if you have Frenchies, you know this, they regurgitate a lot. And what's happening is, a hiatal hernia is where the part of the stomach, because of the difficulty breathing and the negative pressure in the chest, sucks in to the thorax, the chest cavity, some of the stomach, okay, at the hiatus. So it's called the cardia, that first part of the stomach that is attached sort of to the diaphragm, where the esophagus comes through the diaphragm, the little hole, and it meets up with the stomach. Some of that area gets sucked into the chest, narrowing the opening. So these dogs regurgitate. They can't get the food going down into the stomach from the esophagus. So it's almost like a GERD. They're spitting up all the time. And what the concern there is that when these dogs are spitting up, it's possible to then inhale some of the ingesta, and then they get aspiration pneumonia. It's like a whole chain of events that is so potentially dangerous. So anyway, that's it's a problem. So my recommendation is seeing a veterinarian who is very comfortable in doing the procedures. I do nares. I do the soft palate. I've removed tonsils. There's some questioning from the different Frenchie docs whether you need to do the tonsils at all. I've spoken to some that say if they're really, really big and they're impeding the airway, then remove them. They don't serve any other purpose. If they're slightly large, but they're not really impeding an airway, then leave them. And that's, think of it this way. So how many of you adults had your tonsils taken out when you were young? The only reason you wanted it done was to get ice cream and Jell-O after the surgery. But now we're learning it's done so infrequently because they realize that given time, the benign neglect, the tonsils go down. Same thing in dogs. But if you have one that's really, really huge and they're competing the airway, then I would remove those as well. Same thing with the saccules. If I see little saccules there, but they're clearly not getting in the way, I won't remove them. But if they are large and narrowing that airway, we'll remove those as well. Soft palate. How much to take off? I'm a less is more kind of guy. So I'd rather go in a second time if I have to and take more than take too much at first. Because then I've seen a lot of these dogs always getting stuff stuck up their noses. You need to have, I think what someone once taught me, that you want to cut no farther back than the level of the caudalmost tonsil, wherever that console is, that you don't want to go farther in than that. You want to leave it at least as long or a little bit longer than that marker. So I've had over the years, I mean, I've done hundreds. I've done a couple. I've gone back in. And I always tell the client that, you know, it's going to be a much better. I won't recharge for the anesthesia. Speaking of anesthesia and Frenchies, the only way to evaluate a dog's Frenchie soft palate or bulldog or any dogs that may have this problem is anesthesia. There's no way you can look and really get a thorough, good feel for the degree of coverage of soft palate in the elongated soft palate than from without anesthesia. There's no way. There's no way Frenchie will let you look that far back of the mouth. So what I tell people is that that's my suspicion. That's what it is. And that's why I usually like to do it when I'm doing along with a spay or a neuter or a dentistry, some other procedure where I can look at it. And if it doesn't need it, you don't do it. I've seen some dogs that, you know, Frenchies that sound, you know, they're not choking to death. They're not suffocating, but they snore loudly at night. And then I go in and the soft palate's fine. I leave them. So yeah, I'm curious to know if other of you listening or know other docs that do the soft palate surgeries, what your experiences are, but that's kind of what I do. How long does the nasal from adenomyosis last? My dog's tires are high. Yeah, so again, we don't know that. We did that one. You wave it around. Thank you. I want to figure out how long I can wait between vaccines. Well, usually, when you say between vaccines, if it's the first time they're getting, I can't imagine because the adenovirus vaccine is part of the DA2PP. I'm a 1 year for the first one before when they're like 4 months of age, which is the final of the series, 16 weeks. I wait 1 year, but after that, it's 3 years for me. I'm, like I said, I'm a less is more kind of guy when it comes to vaccines. All right. I think I got to all. So with the Frenchies, no, when you're going to get a French bulldog, those are the concerns. Also, other problems with Frenchies. So you have the hiatal hernia, you have the BOADS, the brachycephalic obstructive airway syndrome. Then you also have a lot of dogs that have back problems. They have spine problems. They will often get cervical discs. They'll get lumbar discs. They can't get thoracolumbar. Interestingly, when you take a radiograph of a Frenchie, the back is kind of like a pyramid. And those areas are usually saved from the problem. It's crazy. On an x-ray, you say, oh, there's the problem. And it's not. When these doctors go in or you do a myelogram and you see, or an MRI, and you see where the problem is, it's not that area. So it's kind of weird. It's something you need. In fact, if you have a French bulldog, and all of a sudden, it acutely either goes down, cries in pain, and starts walking extremely stiffly, and doesn't want to move, immediately take him to your vet or an urgent care emergency facility. You need to start treatment right away, and the worst thing to do is move them around a lot, because most of the discs that we see are what we call type 2 discs. That was, there's compression in the cord causing a lot of pain, but they still move, they still have feeling, they still have reflexes. If they move around too much, and that type 2 becomes a type 1, that's an explosive disc where the disc material shoots right up through the annulus, which is the protective layer. It's like a sheet riding on the floor of the spinal canal. And it shoots through that into the spinal cord itself. And that's where these dogs become paralyzed. They cannot move. So don't delay. If you even think that your Frenchie is stiff in pain, have them evaluated. Cage rest, strict cage rest, and anti-inflammatories. Now, speaking of anti-inflammatories, and this is just me, but I will tell you that most of the surgeons and the other Frenchie docs that I know will agree with me. for many other joint ailments, I'm a big fan of non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, Vetprofen, Carprofen, you know, Galliprant, Meloxicam, all they're fine. When it comes to backs and Frenchies, I'm going straight to steroids. And steroids and strict rest. And I mean cage rest. They you don't want them moving around for any reason more than they literally have to. So anyway, what can I tell you? And that's it. Lastly, skin. They have skin problems. They have a lot of folds. They have the folds on their face, the facial folds right above their nose. And so they get what we call skin fold infections. And again, that's a problem. Oh, another one, speaking of skin, their tails. They will get some, their tails are, you know, really funky, small tails. They will get sometimes deep tail fold pyoderma because the tail fold curves, its curved tail goes inward and it creates a major deep pocket that now is not exposed to air. It's moist. It gets dirty. It gets infected. And those use need to often have a tail amputation where the seizure surgeon goes in and removes the entire tail. And they come in, they make a cosmetic, so it kind of looks like it has a little nub, but let's face it, French used to have little bucks anyway. So no big deal. So anyway, what can I tell you? That is it. So it's obviously breathing, the Frenchies. They do eyes, ears. Well, that's any skin allergy. They'll have some ear issues. It's the back, it's the neck, the disc disease. It is the facial folds, skin folds in the back. It is typical pyodermas. I mean, become the new Sharpei. I mean, it become honestly a veterinarian's delight because they have so many problems. And a lot of it is really, sadly, because of poor breeding practices. So, if you're going to get a Frenchie, if you're going to get any dog, bred dog, we talked about this, I would say right now you don't need to because there are so many Frenchie rescuers that, so I did, my Frenchie's a real one. So, and he's a pure breed. So you don't need to go out and buy new ones. Plus, I don't even know if I would trust any of these breeders nowadays. Really, really, really need to do your homework and go online. I guarantee you can find many great rescues that are even, that just have Frenchies or specific Frenchie rescues that you can, you know, find Frenchies to your heart's delight. So anyway, that's it for now. And I am going to be seeing you all next week, same bat time, same bat channel here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram. And if there are any questions during the week, you do not have to wait to see me on a Sunday. Yep, it's me anytime. You can go to my Instagram, worbs_DVM. You can go to my Dr. Jeff, drjeff at drjeff.com, or here, Pet Life, Dr. Jeff at petlife.com. All right, if that's good, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for joining me. Bye-bye.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on petliferadio.com.